Anytime we try to bind ourselves to the law of Moses, we run into confusion. There are people out there who are trying to keep the law of Moses in order to get to heaven, and it just simply cannot work.
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah, this is The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's rejoin Marty Zeid with A Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Messianic Voice program. We're coming to you from our headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri, and I'm so glad you've joined us. Well, we are beginning a brand new series of which I am really excited about. It's going to be about the Law of Moses. I've entitled it The Law of Moses and the Law of Christ. And we're going to deal with the introduction and give some basic background about people's ideas concerning the Law of Moses. And then I'm going to give some general observations about the Law of Moses. Then we're going to deal with the purpose of why the Law of Moses was actually given. And just by introduction, I want you to know that unfortunately, there's a lot of confusion that revolves around the Law of Moses. This is not only true for Jewish people, but actually Gentile people as well. It's true for Gentile believers and Jewish believers. There's so much confusion about what part of the law are we to obey? Are we to obey any of it? Why was it given? These are some of the things that we are going to be discussing in this particular series. There are whole denominations that take the Law of Moses and try to apply it to themselves, and there are certain people who claim to be believers, and they won't eat this or they won't do that, and the reason why is because it's stated in the Law of Moses. How are we to respond to that? What do the scriptures have to say concerning that? Let me just tell you what we will be studying in our time together. I'm going to be dealing with what is the Law of Moses? Of what does it consist? What makes up the Law of Moses? We're going to deal with the purpose of the Law of Moses. We're going to answer the question, why was it given? What does the Bible say about that? We're going to discuss the topic, is the Mosaic Law operative in our present day? If it is, how much of it is? If it's not operative in our day, does that mean that we are without any kind of law that we're supposed to follow? And does the New Testament speak of a new law that believers are under as opposed to the Law of Moses? Those are some of the topics that we'll be studying. So I hope that you'll be able to stay with us for this entire series. But let's start off by taking a look at some general observations. Number one, the Law of Moses was never given so people could try to keep it in order to be saved. That is something which is clearly taught in the Word of God. But, you know, in the minds of some people, you wouldn't think that that was even clearly taught in the Scriptures, because they believe that unless you keep the Law of Moses, one won't be saved. This was not only true during the times of the apostles. You know, the apostle Paul had to deal with this in a major way in the book of Galatians. In fact, he tells us specifically because he was dealing with that issue so much during that time. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, he says, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now that's Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. And listen to what it says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21. Paul says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Now, I don't see how those two verses can be any clearer than what they say, that nowhere can a person keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. However, I hate to even have to say this, but it's true. There are some people who would be considered evangelicals. They're pastors of very, very large churches. They have nationwide TV programs on cable TV. Their books are prominently displayed and sold in Christian bookstores. And this one person, this one pastor that I'm thinking of, he believes in what's called the two covenant theory. And he believes that it's totally useless to try to even witness to people from a Jewish background. He makes a statement, they're not going to trust in Jesus for their Savior. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of your energy to even try to witness to them. And he goes on to say, in fact, you don't even have to, because they have a different way of getting saved. And he believes that the Jewish people get saved by trying to keep the law of Moses. But if you're from a Gentile background, then you need to trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's simply not true. In fact, I believe that's another gospel. That's a heresy to believe that anyone can get saved apart from coming through the person of the Lord Jesus. Let me read another verse to you that Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, and this is in verses 10 and 11, where he says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. Did you notice that statement? That no one is justified by the law before God. Paul says this is evident. Well, unfortunately, it's not evident to everyone because they simply are not believing what the Word of God teaches. James chapter 2 and verse 10 says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. You couldn't imagine a person going through their whole entire life and they only broke one commandment in the law of Moses, all their whole, complete, entire life. If that were the case, which we know it's impossible, they are guilty of all of it. Breaking one law is enough to keep a person out of heaven. Well, and of course, that's not even why the law was given. The law was never given so that people could try to keep it in order to be saved. Now, hypothetically, the law could give life if it was kept perfectly, but no one could keep it. Well, there is one, the person of the Lord Jesus. But the law in and of itself simply doesn't have the ability to save anybody. And we want to emphasize that because, unfortunately, there are people out there, well-meaning people, sincere people, who are trying to keep the law of Moses in order to get to heaven. And it just simply is not, and it cannot work. A second observation that I want to make. The law of Moses was given to the people of Israel. It was not given to the church, nor was it given to other Gentile nations. The law of Moses was given to Israel. That's why I think it's really wrong. It's futile for a Gentile individual who becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus to try to put himself under the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law was never given to them. It was given to the people of Israel. It wasn't given to the church. It wasn't given to believers, nor was it given to any Gentile nation. It tells us that specifically in Romans chapter 9, verses 3 and 4, that the law was given to the Israelites. Notice what it says. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites. And then notice this, to whom belongs the adoption as sons and the glory and the covenants, and then listen, and the giving of the law and the temple service and the promises. So we see that the giving of the law was given to the people of Israel, not any other nation, and certainly not to the church. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says this, "For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" And of course, the answer is, there is no nation. There's no other nation on the whole face of the earth that's like this nation that has been blessed to receive these great statutes and judgments, these righteous judgments and statutes, and this law that was given to them. There's no other nation but the people of Israel to whom it was given. Psalm 147 verses 19 and 20 said, "He declares his words to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation, and as far as his ordinances, they have not known them. Praise the Lord." How clear can it be? God gave to the people of Israel his statutes and his ordinances. He hasn't dealt like this with any other nation. They've not known them. It was something that was specifically given to the people of Israel. And it's important to remember this, because binding the Mosaic law upon the church, I believe, has caused a multitude of confusion, problems, and false teaching within the body of Christ. As I said, there are some well-meaning believers who are binding themselves to these rigorous laws and commandments that were never, ever given to them. Even Jewish believers, people coming from a Jewish background, still for some reason think that they must bind themselves and try to keep the Mosaic law. And we're going to discuss that in future programs. So the first general observation was, the law of Moses was never given so people could try to keep it in order to be saved. And secondly, the law of Moses was given to the people of Israel. It was not given to the church, nor was it given to other Gentile nations. A third general observation that I want to discuss is, what is the nature of the law of Moses? And biblically speaking, the law was one of the covenants that God entered into with the people of Israel. As we read the scriptures, we discover that there were certain covenants that God made with the people of Israel. And by the way, if you remember what I just read in Romans chapter 9, verses 3 and 4, let me read them again to you, because I want you to notice, not only did he give them, the Israelites, the law, but listen what else it says. Again, this is Romans 9, 3 and 4. "For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites." And then listen, "to whom belongs the adoption as sons and the glory and the covenants." The covenants, the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the Palestinian covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and of course, the new covenant. All these covenants were given to Israel. They will be fulfilled literally by the people of Israel. When a person becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus, some of the blessings from these covenants, especially the Abrahamic covenant and the new covenant, we are sharing in them. And if you're coming from a Gentile background, you are sharing in some of the blessings of these covenants that God gave to the people of Israel. The church has not replaced Israel. We are not the new Israel. We are not the ones who are going to be fulfilling them. Israel will ultimately do that in the future. But these wonderful covenants that God gave to the people of Israel, we are sharing in some of those blessings. And one of those covenants actually was the law of Moses. The law was one of these covenants. Listen what it says in Exodus chapter 34, and I'm going to read verses 27 and 28, where it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write down these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel.'" So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So the Bible teaches that the law of Moses, was one of the covenants that God entered into with the people of Israel. Now, as we read the scriptures and we read about these covenants, we discover that some of the covenants are unconditional and some are conditional, dependent upon which covenant it is. The Mosaic covenant is a conditional covenant. In other words, you need to obey this. But most of the covenants were unconditional. I'm going to bless you. For example, the Abrahamic covenant was an unconditional covenant. It was going to be fulfilled regardless of the behavior of Abraham and his descendants. The Mosaic covenant is a conditional one, and it is the only covenant that God made with the people of Israel that is not called an eternal covenant. It was to continue only until the coming of the seed, and we read about that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19, and also in Galatians 3 and verse 16. There is a very close relationship between the Abrahamic and the Mosaic covenants that we see when we discover what the Word of God says about these two covenants. In reality, it goes like this. The Mosaic covenant was added alongside the Abrahamic covenant in order to define the obedience that was required in order to obtain the blessings that were promised in the Abrahamic covenant. In other words, God said to Abraham, "I'm making this covenant with you. I've got these blessings that I have a desire to give to you, and here's what you need to do in order to receive these blessings." And that's when he took the Mosaic covenant and he added it right alongside the Abrahamic covenant. But the Bible clearly teaches that the Mosaic covenant is a temporary covenant. It was only going to continue until the coming of the seed. And Galatians chapter 3, verses 19, and Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us who that seed is. It's the person of the Lord Jesus. And what I believe the scriptures teach is this, that the Mosaic covenant was operative only until the Lord Jesus was here on the earth. And when he died, when he said, "It is finished," the Mosaic law came to a complete end. Now, I want to introduce that thought because we're going to develop that in our studies. And I don't want anybody to get scared thinking, "Oh, wait a minute, you're telling me that the Mosaic law is completely, totally done away with? What about those commandments that we read about in the New Testament that come from the Mosaic law?" We're going to discuss that. In fact, if you read carefully, you'll discover that 9 of the 10 commandments from the Mosaic law, the only one not carried over into the New Testament, is the keeping of the Sabbath. But 9 of the 10 commandments are carried over into the New Testament. Well, are you saying that the law of Moses is inoperative? And well, how could that be if 9 of the 10 commandments are carried over into the New Testament? We're going to discuss that. Another thing that we're going to discuss is the character of the law. Some people divide the law up into 3 different categories. They talk about the civil law, the ceremonial law, and the moral law. And they say the only one that is still in effect today is the moral law. The other two, the ceremonial law and the civil law, they've been done away with, but we're still under the moral law. Well, we're going to discuss that in detail. Let me just simply say, I believe that the entire Mosaic law has been done away with. I believe the civil law, the ceremonial law, and even the moral law has been done away with, that the believer whether they're from a Jewish background or whether they're from a Gentile background, is not under any part of the Mosaic law. But that doesn't mean that we are lawless. The big word would be antinomian. We're not antinomians. We're not anti-law. We're not against any kind of law. But the Word of God, the New Testament, does have a law that we are under, and it's called the law of Christ. It's not the law of Moses anymore, and we're going to discuss this in detail. I'm just kind of introducing it right now because, as I said, I wish I could put this entire teaching all on one program, but obviously I don't have the time to do that. But we have some wonderful, exciting things to study up ahead as to what the Word of God has to say about the law of Moses. Let me just review what we've seen so far. Just some general observations that I made. The law of Moses was never given so people could try to keep it in order to be saved. Nowhere does the scriptures teach that a person can keep the law of Moses and enter into heaven because of that. The law of Moses, secondly, was given to the people of Israel. Several of the verses that I read clearly pointed that out. It was never given to the Gentile nations, nor was the Mosaic law given to the church. And that includes the moral law. In fact, you know what? And this is for a future study. The Bible nowhere divides it up that way into three categories: civil, ceremonial, and moral. That might be a convenient way to divide up the law as far as studying it, but I'm just going to kind of give you a little brief insight into what we're going to talk about in the near future. The Bible says that the law is one unit. Do you remember that verse I just read in James? For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles even in one point, it doesn't matter which point, doesn't matter whether it's from, as some people would say, the civil or the ceremonial or the moral aspect of the law, it doesn't matter which one you break, you're guilty of breaking the whole complete law of Moses. And you say, why? Because it's one unit. It's not divided up that way. That's something that we've come up with. I believe, as we're going to see, that the law was given to the Jewish people. All the law, and even what is called the moral law. Unfortunately, some of our friends, and especially some of our believers coming from a non-Jewish background, want to adopt this moral law and think that we're still under that. And in some cases, they do that because they think that the church has replaced Israel. Again, that's not true either. But we're going to see that we're not under the moral aspect of the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law has been rendered inoperative. It's no longer functioning today. We're under a whole complete new law that Paul clearly speaks about, and he calls it the law of Christ. We're going to discuss what that is and what all of that contains. So we have, a lot to study. And then the nature of the law. It's a covenant, and it was added alongside the Abrahamic covenant to kind of define what the Jewish people needed to do in order to obtain the blessings contained in the Abrahamic covenant. And it was only a temporary covenant. The Mosaic covenant was temporary until the seed came. Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 and verse 16. Well, our time is about up. And as I said, I'm so excited about this study because I'm hoping that we're going to discuss some things that will clarify some mistakes and confusion that revolves around the Mosaic law. Well, I would like to make all of my notes available to you. If you're not able to join us for each of the programs, just simply write us at MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006, and ask for a set of my notes. And we'll also send you one of our magazines, a sample of all of our tracks. And please, would you send a donation? I'm not going to specify how much. I'm not going to say send $15 or send $10. But obviously, this is costing us something to put together and to mail to you. They're extensive notes because I want you to have this teaching. So if you send in a donation, we'll be glad to send you these notes. Specify the law of Moses so I know that you want these notes and the other information we'll send as well. Well, thank you again for tuning in, and until next time, may God bless you.
Messianic Voice with Marty Zide is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. Inquire about our evangelistic magazine featuring testimonies of Jewish believers. We offer home Bible studies, Jewish evangelism seminars, and free tracts that you may pass along to your Jewish friends. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org or write to us at MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. And be sure to request a copy of Evangelistic Magazine. Once again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.